how does that happen? What's the process of bootstrapping and getting people to buy into your idea?
Passion, obviously. I am very persistent personally, and I believe in ideas since 20 years, and I think you need to be consistent and have a community around you. You know, we were a community of people. You know, it's really a core community who really believe in something. At the same time, you need to have an open mind to work with the best people. You know, when I came to Microsoft, for example, you know, when I was working in HTML before, I had the community, but I didn't have people really who had the experience of mass market. That's why I moved from France. I was based in France, you know, for 10, 15 years, and I was working with the European people there in France, across. And so that's why when Microsoft contacted me, I really was interested by working in a company which does mass market product. Because the problems, you know, we have developers here, architects, program managers, testers, who understand how much when you want to reach millions of users, a lot of things has to be simple. Very simple. And so, remember, when I was helping designing XML, I'm talking at the very, you know, in April, May, June, you know, 96, all this until December, I was always going to see my developers and say, you know, we have to do that. What do you think? Is it simple enough? Can we do it? I will have pushback. I'll come back to the committee and say, you know, would be great, but let's change that because it's more complicated than it is. And so I was always wanted, you know, having lived the HTML experience. You know, XML is just HTML where we cut a bunch of things from it because it was, you know, it was simpler to implement. Really the same ideas. So, but when you go and have this Microsoft kind of experience of simplicity, you know, it's really complicated to give software and tools to millions of users. It's something I really appreciated since I moved to Microsoft, because you have a lot of genuine engineers and we're trying here to make it to millions of users. So you have a lot of complicated scenarios that doesn't come, you know, when you are working by your own. And so simplicity is very important. I'm always, you know, I've been also known to be always pushing for the most simple thing to understand. You know, XML is basically begin tag, end tag, and for the empty tag. I mean, think about it more. You know, Hello World is very simple to write, right? You don't need ETDs. You don't need a bunch of things like this that we simplify. And also what you need, so passion, simplicity, and also what you need is a very cool application or two. And, you know, I helped launch XML because I found, I mean, for me, it was a very nice, marketing kind of idea. I helped design a CDF. You know, I don't know if you know the channel definition format, yep, which is one of the ancestors of RSS.
Yep.
This was the absolute first application of XML, you know, worldwide. Because I remember I was in IE and it was...
CDF was the
format for channel definition, yeah, which was for push, right?
Yeah.
Push information, which is the original, you know, one of the original ideas of what we're doing today with RSS, And so I remember this was a big battle between Netscape and Microsoft at that time, which for me was great because it was your projectors, right, where of the press, everybody was at that. And so I was thinking, well, if we can put XML somewhere there, and so the Internet Explorer, the people needed a format to define what was going to be pushed right to the desktop, to the browser, and so I went and told them, you know, there is this new format that I'm working on, and you can create your own tags. It's legal, right? Remember, this was, you know, creating tags was a bad thing, right? And I'm talking 96, 97.
Yep.
And so I told them, you can create your own tags. It's a W3C standard, as long as you describe how you are creating them, you are clean, etc. And so, and also we're describing data, not presentation, which is something very new. You know, in 96, 97, everything was HTML, everything was presentation, you know. Yeah. And here I'm saying it's data, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a channel and it's...
Yeah, back then the web was table-based, not CSS.
Yeah, it was table-based with CSS, yeah.
Content and design mixed
together. We're completely mixed together.
Yeah.
And so essentially we're just data. And you can create your own tag set of vocabulary, right? And then we did that, and that's where it was one of the first submissions using XML and W3C in 97. We announced that in March 97, and the whole world was like, "What the hell is that?" Right? And we said, well, this is how we do data, right? And I don't know if you see, but if you look at the very first XML books and articles, everything, there's always CDF which is used because it was, you know, a very easy to understand little application. And actually, you know, it became a big thing, you know, because Netscape took it back, and then, you know, Dave Weiner, a bunch of people went and cleaned it up, and it, you know, and this whole Atom and RSS thing now is, you know, is. But it was very interesting because
now it's an halo.
Absolutely, because it's very important because you describe data, and so once again, it's very, you know, you need to do a clean technical design, simple. You need to have passion. You need to have one or two good ideas to explain to the world what the hell you are doing. And that's something that, you know, it is very, very important because this will explain to people by example. You know, XML, HTML, it's a grassroots thing. I don't believe in this organized, you know, ways where you adopt technologies just because a company or two decided to. That's where I believe why XML, for example, is important, is text. Because when somebody created an XML file, you don't need the documentation to go, if you're a developer, to open it in Notepad or Emacs or Vi, whatever you want, and see what is inside of it, and then write a little Perl script or, you know, Java or something, which goes and take it and transform it and do something with it, you know. And so that's what developers do. You know, they don't have time to go and look at complicated documentation, understand the spec three times. Or projects already done. They have to show it. Same thing for creating new languages. A lot of people, what they do is, let's say I want to work with you and define what, you know, what we're exchanging. Well, I'm going to write some tags, show it to you, you're going to look at it, say, yeah, this works. Oh, you're missing this job, put this and other things like this. And, you know, slowly you're working and you look at it, you have some tools which can let you, you know, test it. And then you turn it around in your team, and does it work or not? And then at a certain point, you know, it gels, and it becomes a real, you know, spec. And that's what I loved in XML, because that's how you can create what I call everyday XML documents, personally. You know, I have something, I was talking at a conference about something I call everyday XML documents. You know, every day you have documents that you are using every day. It's not about a big standard that has to be, you know, you have to spend 5 years, you know, organizing the movement of data between, let's say, administration, which is a very complicated problem. But every day, you know, you have, for example, a form or two or a survey or, like I showed you here in Excel, you know, your sales for. So you have everyday documents like this, which are very lightweight. And what's happening is that, you know, the people can start using now with the technologies that we provided to create those documents that are, you know, not super important, but important enough because you want to archive them, you want to reuse the information from them. And that's what XML enables today. Now, of course, you know, as I was telling you, I'm working a lot with governments to kind of work on, for example, you know, records, right? Public records. That's a very important thing, like birth, you know, birth certificate. Yeah, this is very important, and that's another, you know, very important. Yeah, taxes. This is very important. Governments are doing schemas for that today, and of course we support that. So we're going to have two kind of, you know, activities.
It's amazing, by the way. My wife is becoming an American citizen next Thursday.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. Everything they do is still paper.
You know, yeah, I know.
It's so inefficient. You know,
yeah, well, you know, I have a very cool example in France. There is a very small village called Guiras, you know, in the middle of France. And today, this village is using InfoPass, think about it, and XML forms for the entire communication between the little village, you know, the citizens, and the mayor of this. Of this little village. Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible. I can show you the video that we did. And why? Because, you know, they have done a little card for identification. Because in France we have this card, carte à puce.
The French are always more advanced, aren't they?
Oh, it depends on what. No, I mean, no, I would not say that. But, no, I mean, there is a lot of nice experimentation. I was just giving this example. You know that, for example, in Denmark, since 1 year and a half, they said they have something that they called E-Day 1. And since E-Day 1, right, since now 1 year and 3 months, all the interchange of documents between government agencies is done electronically. This is huge, meaning, you know, by email and by sending documents. That's why we worked a lot with the Danish government, because they wanted to understand, you know, how our documents could help them, like our XML formats in Office can help them, because they have, they already are there. You know, it's a very, very interesting state of the art. And so, and I see this everywhere. Now, I mean, I went to Germany, and here in the States, we have people in North Carolina,
yeah,
on the highways. Yeah. We have the police officers, think about it, police officers, in their patrol car, are using InfoPass on a tablet PC to report the incidents, you know, accidents, traffics, whatever. And the way it worked is that before that, they would use papers. Then they would go to the police station, and an admin would take the papers, and with all the, you know, errors, because what's their name, etc., if the person doesn't write very well, would enter it in an IBM system. Well, what the partner of us did, he went and put on top of the old IBM system, web services, simple, because every, you know, putting a SOAP thing. And now, with InfoPass and with an XML form, The police officers fill it in, and then when they go to the police place, they just submit the XML to the web service, and it goes to the old IBM database. So they did not change their backend, but now the user interface and, you know, the efficiency, and they talk about, you know, far more efficiencies than you could even imagine, because just press of a button, and it works very well, because, you know, you are on your tablet PC, or you don't have wireless everywhere yet, so
yeah,
you know.
What's the next 20 years? I mean, if we met for beer in 20 years, what?
Not beer, champagne.
Champagne and cheese, right? Okay.
Absolutely.
What would you have been doing for the next 20 years? What is your world for the next 20 years? What's your?
I want to better use the corpus of information of XML that is getting produced. That's kind of where that's where I think what's going to be really interesting thing, because there's going to be, you know, a lot of things that are going to be XML, a lot of documents, custom defined, you know, documents or presentation oriented documents in XML. And so using this is just a new thing, you know, and we, you know, think about in 3, 4, 5 years, you know, this thing's going to be growing, and it's independent if you put it in a database or directly on your file system. You know, it's just, you know, if you put it in a lot of databases today, you can put, look at Yukon, the next version of SQL Server. They have this XML data type. Then you can take any XML document. You don't have to define how it's going in table or whatever. You put it in XML data type column, and you can start doing query on it. They did a little X query. You know, so the fact that you have all this means a new way of having a set of information that was not possible before, which means that now I can go and start, you know, if I have a document with a custom defined schema with a name, you know, customer and order, let's say, and another one where they didn't call it customer, but for example, client in French, okay, then you can start thinking about how one relates to the other. So a lot of new problems and, you know, and new possibilities can start be developed by cool software on top of this, you know, new state of the art state, basically, of information. That's really interesting. That's very fun.
Yeah, any questions, Charles?
Well, no, I'm just fascinated, just listening. But certainly XML has found its way into all of our products, right? Visual Studio. How far, I mean, and what do you think about, because you mentioned the separation of documentation structure versus data.
Yes.
So UI versus the document as data.
Yeah.
I was just thinking XAML. XAML is XML.
Yeah.
And XAML is about presentation.
Absolutely.
So it's sort of this interesting new way that XML has now become a presentation model.
No, absolutely. But you see, the interesting thing here is that all the Office the Office formats are presentation. Right, the word and word processing, etc. Because you need presentation somewhere. XAML is exactly the same, you know, same thing, but at the UI, pure, you know, interface model, right? And of course, you have the custom defined schema as data. And so, you know, it's very difficult to separate completely what data is representation, because the data of something is a presentation of something else. It's like this whole discussion about data and metadata, which I'm not going to go in. But the interesting...
As God is talking about blogging or meta-blogging.
Yeah.
Blogging about blogging.
You know? I personally don't believe there's metadata. Everything is data, and, you know, the information should be inside of documents. But... Actually, this was a long conversation I had with Tim Bray one time, and the interesting though is that the formats are open, you know, and look at HTML. I mean, HTML was a huge success. Why? Simplicity. People don't know how to use complex APIs, and you know, it's a level of complexity that you need a developer. A lot of people can put together, craft together, thumbtacks together, and then boom. Right, it gets displayed on a browser or on a, so that's where I'm very excited about XAML, because it's you can think about all the UI now that they can do. I mean, it's the UI of Windows. It's very it's incredible. Yeah. So I always remember discussions with Adam, because, you know, Adam is a good friend of mine, Adam Bosworth. And so we were discussing about all this, what XML can do. I'm talking...
You're not allowed to move to Google, by the way.
I'm very happy here. You know, I'm very happy here. Microsoft is a great company. I have friends in every big company, and in a small company it's also... So, you know, I just feel very well here. The discussions were always around how, you know, open formats basically can change the world. And that's, you know, the XML community changed the world. You know, I helped, but, you know, the passion of the people. I don't know if you went to the XML conference a month ago, you know, organized by ID Alliance. It's very interesting. You see the people, they come from everywhere. It's a place where you have a lot of Microsoft people, Sun, whatever. I mean, just, you forget from where they are, which company, and they go and very passionate. And, you know, then you have XML.com or XML Hack or, something like this, where people are very passionate about what they write, and it's the end of the world, because it's very interesting to be in a community like this. It's very, very interesting, because people really believe what they are, what they do. And it's very genuine, and that's what I love. And then after that, you know, after discussions, of course you go and build product. But I'm very, very lucky to be in this community.
What's the role for the industry, you know, the Sun, the Microsofts, the Google, you know, the industry, and what's Microsoft's role? In other words, what would you like to work with Sun on, or work with IBM on, or work with, you know?
We are working. Yeah. We're already working with all these people. I mean, that's where we started, you know, now, I don't know when, a long time ago. We are working very well, you know, on the web services, on the XML. Everybody is telling us that we're working well. Now, is there things we can do better? Of course. I mean, it is. But today, I mean, remember Corba, I mean, and DCOM and things like that, long time ago. Nobody would work with anybody. I mean, now we are just, you know, who's doing better? We are actually competing on who is doing better in terms of openness. I mean, it's just, right. It's incredible. That's what's happening. That is what's happening. And seeing what I told you last time, a few minutes ago, about this Java World thing, it just made me very happy, because we are building an open data format. And, you know, and it just works. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not here saying, you know, companies, their roles to build software. And yes, I love software. That's where, you know, seeing a product, seeing the design, and seeing the first demos, this is really cool. You know, formats are done to be exchanged. That's what the internet is about. And yeah, and I'm happy that XML was able to do that, because that's kind of what the missing ingredient of this whole in the internet. Because HTML is great, it's just not good enough for what we want to do in terms of, you know, data. So. It's just working. Yeah. That's why we need to go drink champagne.
I'm all over that. It's Friday night. One of the beautiful things, you mentioned HTML. I started off as a developer, as a web developer.
Uh-huh.
And immediately, one of the things that you recognize, the flaws of HTML, is that it's limited. Right? You have a limited set of data that you can use, limited set of tags, whereas XML, it's unlimited. It's an unstructured, as far as self-describing documents, so I can create any kind of node I want, and as long as I provide a mechanism for people to understand it, they don't have to have any pre-existing knowledge as to what they're going to get.
No, I
sort of said that in a strange way, but you know what I mean? I mean, HTML is way, way too limited, and now with XML, you've given me as a developer a lot of flexibility with how I describe data.
Sure.
And presentation for that.
I just want to make sure, you know, HTML, the beauty of HTML, it was a very small defined set, you know, P and div and, you know, okay? And so it's very nice because everybody can very quickly, you know, implement it and display it. So this has to stay. I mean, this is staying, and it's very important. It's just
it was
that
easy to copy, too.
Absolutely.
That's how I learned.
Absolutely.
My friends would create tables, and I would go and look at their tables and say and figure out how it worked and use it on my own site and change.
Look at RSS, same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't have this kind of grassroots. You know how many millions of use of RSS now?
Yeah.
Just because you put some tags together and you just describe it. You know, and that's what XML enables. You know, that's exactly what XML enables. And so you're going to have, you know, some dialects, right, some vocabularies are going to be very, very successful. And then this is something that, is needed, right? And you're going to have, you know, a lot of self-described data structures, you know, custom-defined schemas, to define data. And those, you know, let the thousand, roses bloom, or let the thousand flowers bloom, because everybody has this different need in terms of data structure. You know, when you buy a database, the columns of the database are not pre-populated. You go and define your table, right? Everybody do that. When you're talking about data structures, that's what we need. And I don't believe that it's a problem that we have millions of schemas. This is this big debate of, you know, is there too many schemas in the world? And it's incredible. People are just, you know, I think, mixing too many things. And so I believe that what XML provide is the possibility to have people who wants to work together work together. So if you want to work with a lot of people on a data structure, like say taxes, right? It's very important to have one tax structure for a country, for example, or for the European Union, for a set of countries who wants to work together. You know, and okay. So you define this. That's very important. And Microsoft, and you know, with Visual Studio, and we have a lot of tools who can help these things. Now, to define, you know, XML and XSLT debuggers, etc., in the new version of it, Visual Studio. So we have that. Now, if you have a circle of people you want to work, which is smaller, right? So let's say a company. This is smaller than a country, and you want to define, you know, how to do request for proposal, let's say, because it's just for your company, right? You have your own rules on how to do request for proposals. Well, you just go define your data structure. And you just do it, and everybody in the company use it. When you work with contractors or, you know, subcontractors, you send them, for example, a Word template which contains this XML, and they can fill it in, and they can use it. So that's a different circle of people you want to work with. Then you have a department. The department is smaller. Maybe you don't need standardization across a company to just do a sales report, you know, because inside of your company, that's what you're doing in this specific department. And so then for yourself and your friends, you can do this kind of data structure. So that's something which is very important, because it gives you the flexibility to do the standardization of the data structure at the level that you need. That's important data, you know, that I am trying to explain here, is that there is, you know, of course, if you want to communicate with a lot of people and you don't do the standardization, well, of course, not going to work, and that's bad, you see? Now, you know, on the other hand, XML is always better than free text, because, you know, when you have tags, even if they are not completely standardized, let's say one is called customers, the other one is client, right, in French, at least you could write programs which can go extract the information, transform from one to the other. You know, that's what we do with BizTalk, for example, right? You know, if you have an expense report here, an expense report here, and it's not exactly the same, you can do transform. but at least the information is properly tagged.
Yep.
So that's kind of where it's important to, and so you see, you're asking me what will happen in 20 years. This entire thinking around how to deal with these kind of documents is a huge set of opportunities to build tools, to build user interfaces, to build databases, repositories. You know, a lot of things could be done here. It's just the tip of the iceberg. The most important for me is really that people understand that the core software exists. Backend, client, in the middle. You know, in the middle is a SOAP and HTTP. You know, I don't really care if it's SOAP or if it's REST. I mean, I kind of, it's very interesting, this debate, because, you know, we did REST since 8 years. You know, sending XML over HTTP, this is something the basic, right? So that's another discussion like this where people also mix up things because, of course, you know, we implemented that actually in Internet Explorer 5, right? How to use a little object model which sends XML through XML HTTP. We did that in my team. And, of course, it's very important. With InfoPass, we have this, you know, you put XML, you put the URL, it posts it. That's for specific kind of scenarios where the most important is to send payload from one to the other. But then for enterprise integration, you know, talk to these people. They have a lot of problem of security, of routing, of just things like that. So the problem is more complicated. So you have different kind of technologies. So once again, you know, I don't know why people go and oppose these things. You know, it's like the discussion data and document. Same thing. People, you know, opposed it, and few people would say, you know, is Microsoft interested more in data side? I remember these kind of discussions. Say, well, I don't understand what you guys are talking about. Because I never saw a difference between these things. Yes, we started implementing XML server because when you're dealing with information, well, you better have servers who know how to deal with it, you know? So we started by the server because if the database cannot contain XML, if you don't have routers like Bistro, if you don't have Visual Studio who knows how to help you debug it, you cannot just do anything, okay? You cannot develop. So, okay, so started with that. Then came the time of the client. So that's when we did the Office, because now at least we know that what Office outputs, we have backend system who can take it, and vice versa. So, you know, that's the only thing I want people to understand. The basics exist, the software exists, and I believe that now we need to go drink champagne, yeah, or whatever you prefer, or iced tea, or, you know, or whatever, if you don't drink alcohol. And then, you know, we need to start thinking about how to build on this foundation in terms of user content.
If you were drinking with Bill Gates tonight, what would you tell him?
Thank you. Absolutely. Because Bill, you know, in a few minutes, I remember we were sitting with him and we were telling him, you know, with this XML thing, which is text, you can send this piece of a document to another machine, and this other machine could be Microsoft or non-Microsoft. And I remember, I said, oh, really? But why is it text? We said, well, you know, it's text because this way you can do that. So it took him 2 seconds. He said, this is genius. This is very good. And, you know, because, of course, that's the first thing you think. And then it took him a few seconds. And then that's where he gave us, you know, resources and everything. I'm talking really at the very early days of XML. And he always was with us, you know, helping us. And, of course, we needed to prove what we were doing. Building in products, etc. And so, he helped us just, you know, from the very, very beginning. He was so the enthusiasm was always there. So I just want to, because it's important, because to kind of see that the interoperability was an important thing from the very beginning. I'm talking, you know, end of 96, early 97. Yeah. So, and you know, this is why. It just was very important. So I just want to thank you.
Cool. I think now it's everywhere.
That's a good way to end.
Thanks. Thank you for staying an hour with
us. You are more than welcome.
Yeah.
More than welcome. Pleasure.